Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the Carl Thicker.
City to talk about Arsenic Lullaby, the big stall. Yes, of course. Let's check the lines. Area code 414-414. Who is on the line?
Well, this is Douglas. How you doing?
Hey. Yes, I have been reading your bio, and it's been so long since I heard some things about you because I've been so busy doing other things. And one person who talks about you in the most loving, positive light is always Van Campbell. I got to give him a shout out. He is doing some great things.
How you doing, buddy?
Yes.
How you doing
he
out
loves
there?
You.
Of course he
well,
does.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I can hear you great.
I left my phone in the car today, and it froze solid, so I was a little concerned it wouldn't work.
Well, that was a poor move. You were outside today, right?
just briefly, just enough to make sure it was too cold, and then I went back in.
Well, hopefully it'll be okay so we can get this interview done because you have a lot on the table. Veteran in the comic book industry. You've done work for Image and DC Comics, Mad Magazine, Topps Mars Attacks. You know, all this while keeping your own independently published, the work of Arsenic Lullaby. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a busy boy.
Okay, so why don't we draw back as far as we can go to when did you discover your passion, Douglas? Like, when did you know that drawing and creating satire with these stories was for you? Because I got a chance to look at some of your work, and I got to tell you, you are a ballsy guy. You touch issues with America as far as us being jacked up. And by the way, this show does not have to be PG. If you don't want it to be, just let me know, because Cream City Classica is versatile. Sometimes we can swear, sometimes, you know, whatever the case might be. And I've seen some of your work, and it's like really... You have a lot of guts, you know, to do the satire that you do.
Well, it's just what's funny to me, you know. I find it funny, so I assume there's other people out there who are going to find it funny, and apparently there are. So everything's been working out. When I discovered my passion, I'm just good at it. I don't even know that there's plenty of days where I don't even like this job.
Really?
I'm just good at it, so I do it, you know?
Did you just get me? Did you just punk me just now saying that you don't even like this job something? Or is that a true statement?
No, that's true. There's plenty of days that I don't really want to do this.
See, that's the thing about interviewing a guy. I never know when you're being serious or trying to crack a joke. So now you're being serious, you're really going to tell us. Okay.
No, I'm serious. Well, it's just like any other job. After you're doing it 40, 60 hours a week for a number of years, you just go and you do it, and you wish you were doing something else. Just like everybody out there with a job. Some days you like it, some days you'd rather just be watching TV.
True. We do have those days when there's some good programming or, some kind of series that you want to catch up with. But let's, go back to you being a young lad. When you were a young lad, did you, get in trouble because you doodled all the time? You know what I'm trying to say? When did you know for sure, man, I can never put this pen down?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I got in trouble for having a big mouth mostly, so I guess that sort of applies to what I do now. mostly I got in trouble for that, saying stuff I wasn't supposed to say and having a big mouth and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But I mostly kept my head down as a kid, as far as I can remember. I don't know. My parents would probably disagree.
Well, it's wonderful that you found a way to merge the two worlds, the smart mouth and the slick wit on the angles that you take with your characters, because you have a very odd and obscure style, and I'm quite sure that's what brought you the amount of fame that you've managed to gain to this point, because being featured on Comedy Central and winning the Eisner Award, going across to Europe and gaining the Comic Zem Award, these things are not small feats. These are also feats of originality. So let me ask you this. Your style, was that something that was developed early on, or is this a late bloom? Because you seem pretty committed to it. Yeah.
The drawing style or the writing style?
The writing style, we could say that's attributed to having a smart mouth. Kids, so we can say that's long debates, long-winded nights of debates and keeping comments to yourself, but the drawing style.
That just sort of developed on its own. I don't use a computer for much of anything. I just use a brush. And so that's part of the reason why it looks different from everybody else, is I'm using completely different tools than everyone else is using. I don't really even use pens or technical pens or art pens. I just use a brush for everything.
Of brushes?
I just use one. It's a Zero Winsor Newton. So that's about the size of the tip of a number two pencil, basically. It's real small.
Damn. So now we can also say that you are very meticulous. Or someone might say you're a little retentive. I mean, because what kind of patience do you have? Because the stuff you're coming up with is out of this world. And then you have this meticulous way. And then you're using a brush, the same brush. You really are amazing. You really are.
Well,
so, okay.
That goes back to what I was saying about some days I don't want to do this. You sit at a drawing table for 8 hours and you drew a bunch of cartoon Nazis, and then you think to yourself, what the hell am I doing with my life,
So, okay, let me ask you this. All right, so I did get a chance to go over to one of the sites, and I checked out the first comic that appears, and, the direction that it was going into was very political, very anti-America, because a lot of countries do hate us, rightfully so. I totally get it as an American. Now the internet has really exposed a lot of truth that was hidden from us for so many years, because the media has always been controlled to a degree where a lot of us to this day still don't look at 9/11 but one way, if you follow my drift that I'm saying. But your comic on the first page clearly puts in perspective how a country may feel about us and what kind of statement they'll make right away just because we set American foot on foreign soil. And then at the end, there's this sick twist with the headless horseman. You know, you are like a gut puncher with your comedy and your comic material. Like, you will take something very very important and very riveting, and you will, like, slam it with a left hook. How do you do that?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. But to me, there's a lot of bad stuff in this world, and, you know, our country is responsible for a good amount of it. But, you know, there's a lot of good there, too. And when there's bad, you can either feel bad about it or you can laugh at it. So I choose to laugh at it.
And to me, that's where the ballsiness comes in, because you have the guts to stand up and say, hey, man, this ain't right, and I'm going to address it as such in this manner. Because sometimes comics are more respected than politicians, and sometimes a cartoonist is right in the field of a important comic that is followed for much respect on that, you know. And I'm quite sure that you fall in that category, in that league.
Well, I think comics I don't want to say more trustworthy, but we're more sincere. All we're trying to do is, you know, is make you laugh. We're not trying to get reelected, or we're not trying to get a bribe or any of that stuff. We've got one motivation, and that's to make you laugh, and everyone knows it. And so, you know, we're a little more genuine, and all our cards are on the table. So if a comedian tells you something, you know, one, he's trying to make you laugh, and two, it's coming from his heart, because if he doesn't find it funny, he's not going to say it.
True. Now, we are going to talk about The Big Stall, which is your latest baby being born, or has it been born already?
It has been born and out in the world, just rubbed the placenta out of its eyes and is looking around.
Okay, before we touch on that, I want to ask you, what are some of your most prized projects for people that are already familiar with your work, or for people who are just learning about you? Because you've done work for Mad Magazine, and that is a satire king of comedy when it comes to comic books. That right there, if you can get your work in there, you've arrived, and you've achieved that. So what do you think got you there, I think, and what is, like, your most prized work that you want to elaborate on, just to give people, like, a back down memory lane and, you know, check this out, you know, kind of thing?
Well, honestly, and I think it's the same with a lot of creative people, whether you're a musician or a comedian or a writer, my favorite work right now is the one I just did, and then the second favorite would be whatever I'm working on. You know, you're always most proud of what you just finished. You look back at the stuff you did, and you like it, and you see value in it, but you're always the most thrilled with the stuff you just finished, because it's fresh, and in your mind it's better, because, you know, all sorts of little details that probably no one else notices, you get better and better as you go on. So you're always kind of the most proud of whatever you just finished.
You know, I have to agree with you there as a writer. Every time I put out another book, I have that little wave of excitement like that. But then when I come away from that, still have my personal favorites, you know? Like, they come back every time. Like, I think that's still my favorite novel. I go through that. I guess that's why I asked you that question. So, okay, Arsenic Lullaby. This started years back. How did you come up with that whole series?
Well, I was part of it. There was three of us doing a crime comic book, and it wasn't doing so hot. So towards the end, we were just kind of putting whatever stories in there we felt like, because it was doomed anyhow. So I started putting more, like, comedy stuff in there, more satire. And that seemed to go over a lot better. So then I put out my own book, Arsenic Lullaby, which was just all dark humor and comedy, and it was well received right from the get go. So then I just kept going with it.
Okay. We have a caller, area code 414-414, Cream City Classica. Who's on the line? Cream City Classica. Who's on the line? Hello? Hello? Hello?
You're so patient with people. I listen to a few other shows, and you're so patient. I'd be like, come on, hey, Helen Keller, you want to hit some buttons or something so we know you're there? Let's go.
Well, maybe they're just listening. That's okay. That's fine. What we'll do is go up for a commercial, and that'll give me a chance to go in the room and see who actually wants to talk to you and who wants to listen. And we'll come right back, and either we'll take a call or we'll talk about the big stall. Is that okay with you?
Works for me.
All right. Douglas Paskovich is on the line, everybody. You guys, you know what? Mad Magazine, that commercial carried me through a lot of bad nights, man. A lot of bad nights, like you'd get into it with your parents or your friends, and this little magazine would be like on the coffee table or something, and you open it up, and you can't believe they did that. And you're a kid, and you get to look at it and laugh at it, and you got something to snicker about at the dinner table. I lived that life, so yes. Oh, this is Teresa Ray Butler. Tonight, we have all this crazy snow. If you're out there on the roads, get off the damn road. Go home. Just go home. Go home. You're listening to Cream City Classica.
Do you have a sense of humor that most people describe as wrong? Then you need to come to ArsenicLullaby.com. This week featuring a cartoon with Baron Von Donut, a serial mascot who gets kidnapped by Asian gangsters and forced to smuggle drugs.
Our product is a cocaine, Mr. Donut. You may have entered the country a plain donut, my friend, but you shall leave a powdered donut.
ArsenicLullaby.com, where you can laugh at people who are even worse than you.
Oh, boy, Doug, are you on the line? That powdered donut thing, I got a chance to check that out. That is crazy. What in the hell, man, with the cocaine and the donut?
This turned out all right, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I didn't know where the hell the story was going until we got to the end. I was like, okay, see?
Hey, I'm pretty happy with that one. That one turned out good.
Okay,
Baron Von Donut, he's like a mascot for a big donut company, and he's also an alcoholic, so he sort of runs with a rough crowd, you know.
I caught that, you know. He's in the bar telling the kid his whole life story. Like, what the hell is going on with this story? Because that's, you really, really have this element of surprise in everything you do. Like, you think you know where the story's going, but then you get to this point where you're like, what the hell? I looked at, go ahead, it's too much.
I was going to say, that's sort of the key to comedy is a lot of what I do is taking all sorts of weird elements and sort of trying to force them into reality, like a 6-foot talking donut. And I take that and just jam him into the reality of the drug world and gangsters and all that, and you kind of let whatever's going to happen and try to camouflage it as much as you can until you get to the end.
And that is very creative, to take a donut and proposition this guy a 6-foot donut, not a little ass donut hole or nothing like that, a big 6-foot 279-pound donut.
Yeah, big, sturdy guy who, you know, theoretically could be formidable if there was some sort of a physical problem. You know, where do you punch a 6-foot donut? Who knows? You don't know.
True. Where do you punch a 6-foot donut? Excellent question. What the hell?
Everybody think on that tonight when you're putting your head to the...
Yeah, like how do you wrestle a 6-foot donut and put it into a headlock? All this good shit. That's exactly the kind of twisted... But it was the thing that he was playing, so he was like the perfect target, you know? Like, you're playing. You can be powdered. Powdered with what?
Right.
Cocaine.
We're just going to hide the cocaine all over you.
guys, listeners, you got to go check it out because it's like you just got to see the ending for yourself. I'm not going to give it away. All right, let's talk about the big stall.
The big stall. It's just a collection of really, really strange stories. Baron von Donut is in it. That's one of the longer ones where he kind of gets in an argument with his boss, you know, the CEO of Keesler Incorporated, because he doesn't want to do a Christmas commercial mm-hmm. the right way. So then they sort of have a nuclear arms race of who can make the commercial more depressing to get the other person to just back out altogether until they end up making the most depressing Christmas commercial ever for some cigarettes.
Oh, okay, okay. So is this also, is it safe to say that this is a TV series as well?
Not as yet. I did a little bit for Comedy Central's Trip Tank, and we're hoping to do more, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, can you, like, relive the Trip Tank experience? Like, how did that happen? Because that's another major move. You made some nice moves here.
Well, some of it, as I like to say, my best move is not moving at all. Mad
okay.
Magazine just sort of stumbled across me, and the same thing with Trip Tank. They just kind of found me on the Internet. And the best, you know, people ask me, how do you get started and how you get these opportunities? Really, all you can control is how good you are and how good what you do is. And then people will see you, and if you're real good, then the opportunities will come your way. So with Trip Tank, they just sort of found me on the Internet and asked me to send them some stuff, and I did, and they liked it, and off I went.
That is so amazing. That is so amazing. I was checking out this Nikola Tesla book the other day, and one of the things that they talked about, Douglas, was the 10,000 rule, which basically pertains to if you practice at something 10,000 hours, you know, you get to this level of mastery, so to speak. So, like, if you practice on something 4 hours a day, you know, eventually you'll get to the 10,000 hours and you'll get to a whole new understanding of the thing that you are practicing, you know. You know what I mean? And honestly, you know that from, like, frequenting my Facebook posts sometimes that I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson. He is someone who totally practiced, you know, the 10,000-hour rule, whatever it is. And I really feel like if we all did that, we would see some kind of particular benefits of doing that. So I think that you are one of those people because your consistency is evident, you know. Like, you can look at something and know that you did it. And that's proof. That's evidence.
Yeah,
so,
well,
okay.
Exactly. That 10,000 hours is important because you asked before, you know, where my style comes from. Well, after you draw something, if you draw 10,000 hours, your style just develops on its own. You draw a certain way because that's the way that it developed. And as far as, you know, writing or having an instrument or whatever you do, 1,000 hours just to get the handle of it, just to get the hang of using a brush, you know, in my case, or figuring out which panels are going to work better and which camera shots are going to work better. It takes 10,000 hours just to figure all that out. And then that's when you get started on being able to do stuff really competently and really hit the joke the right way and really line the story up properly, because you finally just then understand what all the tools are for.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I really do. I really, truly do. We are down to the last couple minutes of the show. This is the part where we either give someone else some shine, some attention or whatever, or we talk about your next endeavor or what's the product for sale or where people can find you, and I'm going to give you the floor to do that.
Well, let me kill two birds with one stone here. ArsenicLullaby.com, that's where you can find my stuff. And there's also a blog page there where you can find a couple other guys, comedian Mike Bobbitt, who's in L.A. now, but he's out of Detroit, so he's another Midwestern guy who's giving it hell. And then you can also find comedian Dave Stewart on there. And he's right from Milwaukee. You can find me or Dave or Mike. Just go to arsenicwallaby.com, and there'll be something up there to keep you busy.
Okay, cool. Now, you're originally from, help me out.
Milwaukee.
Are you? Wow.
Yeah.
I would have thought you were from somewhere else and got dragged here when you were a kid.
As far as I know, I can only remember back to about age 3, but as far as I know, I'm from Milwaukee.
Did you watch a lot of Hogan's Heroes growing up?
I loved Hogan's Heroes.
Your work reminds me of Hogan's Heroes, kind of sick, twisted. Because that's a really fucked up comedy show. Like, this is the Holocaust, and you guys are cracking jokes and screwing and drinking and carrying on.
Time when you could take something like the Holocaust and make a 30-minute sitcom out of it.
And it was fucking successful. That was made it so amazing. So, yeah,
you look back now and you're like, what the hell? How did this get made? Hey, okay, we'll take some Nazis, right, but we'll make them silly, so it'll be okay. In between murdering Jews and throwing them in an oven, he's going to say, like, a lot of wacky puns and stuff. How about that? Can we do that?
They did such a good job that people forgot what was behind the curtain on that show. And they even threw, like, black guys in the show, and that really, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow, this show was, like, before its time just because of what they could do cleverly with comedy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
You could tell it was the era of cocaine because obviously all the producers were probably just out of their minds on coke and weren't paying attention to any of these scripts, because otherwise there's no way.
Hell yeah. You ain't never lied about that. Well, when you get ready to embark on your next big journey, you have a home here on Cream City Classica. And for all the listeners who may have missed the show, don't worry about it. There's always playback. We can listen to it till infinity. So it's there. And Doug, we want to thank you for coming on. We wish you many, many successes. And we hope that you have a wonderful rest of the night, because you've certainly been a pleasure. Anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Oh, just thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you again.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Doug. Bye. Be safe out there. Don't go outside.
Stay warm.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I love when people from Milwaukee are doing good things. It makes me feel so good inside, because I actually love my hometown. Yes, let's give it up for Doug one more time. This is Teresa Ray Butler. I am signing out. Y'all, be good. Love and light.